My dearly beloved in Christ, we have come to the end of the liturgical year this week, final week of the year. Next Sunday, we will turn back to the front of our missal for the first Sunday of Advent, which begins a new liturgical year. And the liturgical year commemorates the life of Christ. We go through with Advent, we prepare to celebrate his birth, and we have Christmas, and we go through the feasts of our Lord's childhood leading up to his public life, his passion, death, resurrection, his ascension into heaven. So every year, we go through the life of Christ in the liturgical year. But also, the liturgical year represents the history of the world from the creation of Adam and Eve up until the last day. And so that's why on the last Sunday after Pentecost, we have this gospel of the end of time, the end of the world, the general judgment, etc. And what a sight that will be when every human being who has ever lived will be gathered together and our Lord will come, it says, on the clouds of heaven with great power and majesty to judge. And as we say in the Creed, from henceforth, he shall come to judge the living and the dead. Now, that's a lot of people. Supposedly, right now, there are close to 8 billion people in the world. And imagine all of the people that have ever lived. And so someone might say, well, how could they all be gathered into one place? Because, of course, the bodies will be raised from the dead and reunited to the soul. But it will be a glorified body. And therefore, it will not be bound to the laws of physics. You remember how our Lord came to the apostles in the upper room after his resurrection in his glorified body? He came through the door, through the wall, into the upper room. His glorified body was not subject to the laws of physics. So likewise, all of those who have ever lived will be gathered together in one place. And if we're to believe literally, the prophet Joel in the Old Testament, it will be the Valley of Josaphat. The Valley of Josaphat lies outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem. And on one side, you have Mount Olivet. And then you have Jerusalem also on a hill, mountain, and in between the Valley of Josaphat. And it's very interesting because literally the entire valley is filled with graves, different cemeteries, etc., reminding you of the last day. So that is what the prophet Joel predicts, where the judgment will take place. But I want to read to you a few stanzas from the beautiful hymn Dies Irae. We just went through it in the seminary with our Latin students because it is so beautiful and so much of the Latin is difficult to translate well into English to convey the full meaning. But I will read just 3 or 4 of the verses and comment on them. So here is the, this one is the second stanza. How great shall be the trembling when the judge shall come to investigate rigidly all things. The Latin is stricte discussurus. So he will judge everything, the fine points, you might say. And we remember the words of our Lord that we shall render an account even for an idle word. So nothing escapes the searching eye of the judge. He knows all, and he will judge everything in perfect justice on that day. The next stanza, the trumpet scattering a wondrous sound through the sepulchres of the whole world shall gather all before the throne. So again, going to the Latin, tuba mirum spargens sonum, a trumpet sound. And our Lord mentions that in today's gospel. Imagine a trumpet sound that will be heard all over the entire world. And the Latin for this verse of the Dies Irae says, coged omnes ante tronum, which means it will force everyone to come before the throne. It not only will gather everyone, it will compel to come before the throne to be judged at the general judgment. Skipping down another verse, what shall I, wretched, then say? What patron shall I entreat when even the just shall hardly be without anxiety. And again, the Latin there, quem patronus rogaturus, patronum rogaturus. Who shall I get for an intercessor, a patron, someone to stand up for me? You know that if somebody is accused of a crime and goes into a courtroom, there's the defense team or defense lawyer. And what does he do to prepare for the trial? He gathers witnesses, character witnesses, who can stand up for the person accused and say, well, this is a good person. He did this, this, and this, and I've known him so many years, etc. But when we stand before our Lord, it will be just us and our Lord. Yes, everyone in attendance, but each individual will be judged in perfect justice by the eternal judge, whose gaze and whose knowledge nothing escapes. One last verse here refers to the sheep and the goats. Inter oves locum presta et ab edis me sequestra, which is, amid thy sheep, appoint me a place and separate me from the goats, placing me at thy right hand. I find that interesting, and that actually refers to St. Matthew chapter 25. Today's gospel is taken from chapter 24, but in chapter 25 of St. Matthew, we read the following. When the Son of Man shall come in his majesty, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And the sheep are symbolic on the right hand of the just, and the goats of the wicked. Now, this is a very interesting comparison because it makes me think that at that time, in those days when you had shepherds and sheep and goats, that the shepherd would let the animals out of the corrals into the pasture during the day, and when he would put them back into the corral in the evening, he would separate them into separate corrals or barns, sheep and goats. Perhaps they would fight if they were in the same corral, I don't know, but that was what was done. And so our Lord uses that analogy to compare to the judge separating the good from the wicked. And then he goes on to say, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, blessed of my Father, take the possession of the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he goes on to narrate the different works of mercy, which is why they obtain salvation. But then he will turn to the goats, to the wicked on his left, and he will say to those on his left hand, depart from me, accursed ones, into the everlasting fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels. And again, he will go through the works of mercy that they failed to fulfill. And then at the end, he will say, these will go, referring to the goats, the wicked, these will go into everlasting punishment, but the just into everlasting life. So what a spectacle that will be, the general judgment. We know that there will be the particular judgment at the moment of our death for each human being, but the general judgment at the end of the world, in which everyone will be compelled to see the perfect wisdom, justice, and mercy of our divine Lord, of Almighty God. Everyone will be compelled to admit, God has been so good to me, and the wicked will have to admit, it is my own fault that I am lost. I failed to correspond with the graces, so many graces that were given to me. So during this month of November, as we think about the poor souls, we should think about the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. One who judges himself, you might say, every day. We make our examination of conscience in the evening and our act of contrition, does not have to fear that general judgment. But he who neglects to live accordingly now will have much to fear on the last day. So let us so live that we will hear those wonderful words, come, blessed of my Father, into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.